Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Paul, it is time for our practice report. You gave a great in-depth report yesterday. I can't wait to find out what happened today.
Well, let's start with, first off, I want to say about Corey Davis here. I mean, I think that body language and his being a much more confident interview, a lot of times I'll tell you something like that doesn't mean much. I think in this circumstance, it means a great deal. I think he's carrying himself like a number one receiver. I think he's being polite to Marcus and the offense. There were two balls today that were underthrown to him that he still has to make a play on. But if they're thrown correctly, they're giant plays. I'm encouraged. It's not consistent enough, but I think that body language change is big. It's not easy to change your body language. If you consistently have hunched over shoulders, if you consistently are soft-spoken, these are hard habits to break. And I think Marcus Mariota's broken the narrow base habit. Now let's see him in a game and see if they could do it there if you revert to form. But these things are significant. Taylor Lewan showing up as Boss Hogg with his entire offensive line coming out with him to the song in his white suit and his white hat is significant.
That was apparently a hat made of beaver, his wife told us.
The beaver was at the press conference as well.
And Taylor's wife confirmed to us that it was a custom-made suit that they had made and that the hat was custom-made also, made of beaver.
Now, Ben was holding the beaver. This is like the lucky beaver. This is a gift that Taylor gave Taylor at some point. I talked to Taylor about this. I've heard that the beaver's been urinated on. And if the beaver's been urinated on, it should not be carried around and displayed in such a member of the team. I would think there are disease potential issues there. Stay away from that.
As we've learned, urine is sterile. It's fun.
Is it? Stay away from that animal.
I don't know. I just made that up.
One advantage to the locker room being closed is that we don't have to steer clear of that particular taxidermied animal.
Paul, we haven't talked with you since 11:15, so give us the full rundown of what happened today.
Well, I thought the best moment after that was they've been working on a lot of red zone. So they're in the red zone. Marcus Mariota runs a hard boot to the right. It is clear very quickly that it is not going to turn into a passing play. Harold Landry is his major obstacle. He is running hard right. He pump fakes, pulls the ball down, cuts inside of Harold Landry, and then proceeds to basically zigzag a Z into the end zone. Very explosive play. When I asked him about that play and bootlegging in particular, he's like, we booted some. I don't remember them booting. I remember us talking over and over about the lack of bootlegs and why they wouldn't bootleg. And this is a play to me that just gives him a chance, if there's not an open receiver, to do something spectacular, which he did in this very situation. It's not a RPO, but it's a play where the second option is electric.
But
somebody's not open.
If you remember, Dave McGinnis was talking to us about that Rams offense and the stretch bootleg plays they would run. That requires the offensive line doing a great job of being mobile but giving the quarterback time. So that's going to be something interesting to watch and see how much more we see of that.
Some of the young receivers, the other thematic thing here, and Nick Williams, I don't know how young we rate him, but some of these young guys just not showing Corey Davis level confidence right now.
Nick Williams has played in Washington and Atlanta with LaFleur's offense.
Yeah, he knows the offense.
Well, when I say LaFleur's offense, within the offense that LaFleur's running.
This offense.
Yes.
I'm unimpressed by the low-ranking receivers. I'm thoroughly unimpressed by the low-ranking receivers. Jayon Brown had a good day. Malcolm Butler said, the offense owned them. He basically, took a loss today. I didn't think it was that one-sided, but I do think the offense rebounded from yesterday. And look, if you're a fan of this team, and I think people lose track of this, right? You come out and you applaud the big catch all the time, but the big catch means that your DB didn't make a play, So You know, I guess you're applauding whoever makes the play, but you have to think, too. You know, if Corey Davis is making a great catch, what's that mean about the guy who made the catch over? If Jayon Brown is run blitzing and effectively hitting Deion Lewis behind the line, what's it mean for the two offensive linemen that he got between? All of these things balance out. But I think if you have a two-day sample size in terms of offense and defense, I think it was a nice comeback for the offense today, and I think that's a good sign that, A, they could come back, B, that they did come back, and after 2 days you feel like things are closer to even than I would have suspected. At the end of yesterday's practice, I would have said, we go into the weekend talking defense in a big way.
Rashawn Evans, any takeaways from his first two practices?
I have to say, I do less well with second and third team, right, because I'm usually then writing something about the first team, which has just finished. And I know Evans has been in there for a few plays here and there on the first team, but what I notice most is that it's Wesley Woodyard and Will Compton out there, and Jayon Brown, I think, subbing for Compton, as you would expect. And that Evans, you know, he might be getting his chances, but he's not a frontline guy at this point, and that's fine. Again, a lot of snap judgments on 2 days. You know, if Rashawn Evans takes some time to bust into the starting lineup, that's fine. I think you and I imagine Chad's with us, think if he's not there opening day, that would be a disappointing growth curve.
Yes.
I think it would also be paired with Compton and Brown being very good, but I think Rashawn Evans would be ready on opening day to play that. I don't know if he's going to have the dot on
that's
his
not how I'm going to read into it. I mean, you asked the question earlier today, should we stop praising the secondary and start talking receivers? If Rashawn Evans isn't starting week one, that's an issue.
Yeah, I think
they traded up for the guy in the first round.
I think he started week one. It's 2 days.
I know, it's 2 days, but you just said it could also mean the other guys are great. Well, even if the other guys are great, this guy should be exceptional.
Yes, he should be better than a Will Compton.
That's the expectation.
Brown competition.
I want to remind fans, if you're coming out this weekend, they're expecting a big crowd tomorrow morning. Same time, 9:50 right here at St. Thomas Sports Park. But we'll go pads tomorrow for the first time. I just want to remind everyone the clear bag policy is enforced here. Basically, no bags larger than your hand unless it's a clear bag. Same as Nissan Stadium. So if you've been to Nissan Stadium for a Titans game, there is that stadium policy. It is exactly the same here this year. Water bottles will be allowed, but here's the trick. It needs to be empty. So bring in an empty water bottle, and then they have water stations throughout this outside facility that you filtered water that you can fill up on the water bottle, and you don't have to use those Gatorade cups that are way too small. You can just bring an empty water bottle and keep it all day.
Also, I often mock people for showing up exceptionally early, and I wouldn't say show up exceptionally early, but there's a metal detector. I don't know if there has been in years past.
Oh, yeah,
so
that will slow down
entry. So give yourself time. And, you know, we've confirmed now, they'll definitely be on field one Saturday and Sunday, and it's basically going to be 2 days. So we've just completed 2 days on the far field. Now, Saturday and Sunday will be on the near field. The two practices after that, when we're back on the air, will be on the far field. And it's going to bounce like that throughout camp.
And over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the Titans are partnering with Second Harvest Food Bank. So you can bring a canned good or goods tomorrow or Sunday and drop that off as a donation if you'd like to prior to camp.
And hit the parking situation while you're talking, because I know you're familiar with the auxiliary lot, if you will.
Yes, I've been banished outside of the facility. I am over at the CVS area, which is the fan parking. That's where I'm parking.
It's past the facility.
How are you not parking in this lot?
Down towards the bubble?
I don't have a pass to park in this lot.
Hurtful. You got one, Chadwick?
I'm not going to say
what's
happening because, all right, I'll tell you guys during the break.
Please do.